9 minutes to 9. It's the time of the week, Foodie Thursday, when we talk about food. This week, our guest is Pina Broccoli Anaya, a blogger based in the village of Bourne who writes at 12culinarystew.com. Hi, Pina.
Hello.
Nice to have you here again. She's got a finger on the pulse of all things foodie in Cambridgeshire. And this morning, we're going to talk about supper clubs. So what is a supper club, Pina?
Well, the term is sometimes used interchangeably with pop-ups, but I think the concept of a supper club is very much a social one. It's a gathering of a small group of people around a communal table, so it's very much a shared experience, and it's usually in someone's home, or it could be an unusual location like a church, but it could be a cafe or a pub or a restaurant. And the host cooks and prepares a surprise menu, so it really appeals at adventurous foodies or who like to socialize and just share a foodie experience with other like-minded people.
So the people who run supper clubs, do they tend to be chefs, or are they just people who really like to cook, who take an interest in cooking?
I think some of them might have a chef background. Some of them are just really good cooks. Some of them are foodies who just love to cook and want to present something. Some of them have their own catering company, so their kitchens are registered and all that. So, and it's just a way of people just expressing their love of food and being around other people. And supper clubs can have a theme, but sometimes it's just about presenting a creative, inventive menu.
This is a really good thing for anybody who's nosy, because you get to go and see the inside of someone else's house.
Yeah, it's a bit tricky. That's why there's a bit of an air of secrecy and exclusivity, because you don't really announce ahead of time where it's going to be. You know, there's some privacy issues or security issues as well, I think. But I think it also adds to the appeal of it. It's like a surprise location. You don't know where it's going to be.
So if they are quite secretive, how does anyone know that they're going on?
It can be a bit tricky. I mean, you'll never find it in, you know, advertised in print, because by the time it makes the magazine publishing, it's already gone. So I think it's sort of word getting around the foodie community, getting to following some people, some foodies on social media. My mom was, you know, sharing information or posting. It took me a few years before I actually got into a supper club, just because I just started knowing people and hearing about it. But just generally, I just really had to follow people closely and figure out what was going on and where, and then booking really, really quickly.
So they are quite exclusive.
They are. I mean, some of them can be quite small, you know, because they're in people's homes. So sometimes they're about 14 people or maybe 20 people. There's other larger ones that can take place in pubs and things like that. So that can accommodate a greater number of people. But the idea is sort of a smaller group, because you're sharing an experience and a communal table, and you're sharing an experience. So it's nice to have more of an intimate atmosphere.
And why is it worth the while? You know, why not just go to a restaurant if you want to eat out?
Yeah, it's very much a different experience, I think. A restaurant or a pop-up would be, you know, you book a table with, you know, someone else or a group, and you're sharing your own thing. And restaurants will have sort of their established menus. You kind of know what to expect or not, or try something different. I think the supper clubs is the whole social aspect of it.
Got you. And these are cropping up in Cambridgeshire. You've been to a couple of them. You're our voice on the inside.
Yes, I remember hearing about them about 4 or 5 years ago. There were quite a few going on. There was the Plate Liquor Supper Club, and Franglais Kitchen did a few. And then it just sort of got a bit quiet. Stella Pereira of Ameza Supper Club has done a few. And that was the first one I went to, which I wrote about on the blog. And she's a foodie and a talented artist and baker. And she bases her supper club on her Portuguese roots and brings out her artistic side of it. And a mesa, it means at the table in Portuguese. And she does it in her home, and it's quite a really nice cozy ambiance. And she's got live acoustic guitar, and everybody ends up just becoming friends afterwards.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, so it is quite an evening.
Yeah,
really.
Yeah. It's really something special. It's something quite different. It's like going to a friend's house, but you don't really know them, and then you don't
maybe
really
you
know
do,
who else is going to be there.
But maybe you do know them by the end of the night.
Yeah,
I
exactly.
Guess. You kind of get to know. And are there others that you've tried out?
Yeah, I just went to one last week by Paola Davies Romano, called Romano's Big Fat Italian Supper Club.
I know Paola.
Yes.
I know Paola. Paola is great fun,
isn't
she?
She's a legend, yes.
Yeah, she teaches cookery and
does classes
for children and adults.
Yeah, she's done that as well. She's a caterer as well, a cook, very talented. And so she decided to try out that concept in her home. She had about 18 people, and she just served a really nice, hearty Italian menu based on her roots in Campania, where Naples is located. We had, you know, antipasto misto, very traditional. Antipasto means before the meal in Italian. So you had a plate of charcuterie, and she made homemade aubergine pickles and char-grilled aubergines and zucchini, and then it had her famous lasagna, meat and vegetarian version, and tiramisu for dessert, all homemade, and layers of pastry of mille foglie alle fragole, which is a strawberry millefeuille with layers of pastry and cream. And there was a lot of fun and singing. We sang That's Amore. It was a lot of fun.
Oh, fantastic. So how can people find out a little bit more, Pina, if we want to read up on these supper clubs and see if we can get ourselves into one?
Yeah, I mean, see, you know, it's not for everyone. So if it does appeal to the adventurous side of a foodie and the social aspect of it. I did write about a few of them on my blog, but they can all tend to be quite different. So I would just say have a look and just start following people on social media or follow me on social media. I'm usually sharing information and just keep an eye out and an ear out.
Yeah, an ear to the ground. Yeah. Pina, thank you so much. Pina Broccoli Anaya there. Her blog is 12culinarystew.com. Oh, so much food chat. I love it. All sounds delicious. Wishing I had slightly more than a banana for my breakfast after the show. Only a few minutes to go. We are turning the page of the Freeman's catalogue and finding Paul Stainton modelling the big conversation. He's with you after this. I'll see you tomorrow for Friday breakfast.